Today on Seculo, President Trump announces he's going nuclear.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Just me again. Once again, it's just me here in the studio, but that doesn't mean we're going to have anything but a great time today with President Trump announcing, hey, guess what? We're going to restart our nuclear testing. And I know a lot of you are going, whoa, I don't know if that's good, bad. We're going to break it down. Why we feel like that, or why President Trump feels like this is important. What's it going to look like? When's it going to start? We're going to get into all that in just a minute. We're going to hear from President Trump himself. And then later on in the show, we're actually going to be joined by Senator Marsha Blackburn, Senator out of Tennessee. We're going to hear from her. We're going to discuss, of course, that Jack Smith investigation, as well as those SNAP programs and the SNAP bill that we talked about yesterday, because Marsha is one of those, Senator Blackburn is one of the ones that has been co-signed and supporting of it. So we're going to discuss that as well, again, as Arctic Frost. And then later on in the broadcast, we're going to hear from Rick Grinnell. So it's going to be a packed show. And of course, we're going to hear from you. And phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. President Trump has been traveling. My brother is in Washington, D.C. He's been traveling also and getting a lot of work done, including spend some time at the White House, has been involved in a lot of what's been going on, some key meetings going on in Washington, D.C. right now. So if you can send some prayers out to our ACLJ team in Washington, D.C., they would really appreciate it as they are doing some great work, some of which, again, they could talk about, some of which they'll probably never be able to talk about, but that's okay. That is why the ACLJ team is in action, and that's why they exist, why our government affairs team and our Washington, D.C. team is expanding right now, as well as our media team. But let's get back to the whole point here. Of course, it is that breaking news. President Trump announced it's time to restart this testing, and of course, he's saying we're restarting the testing because essentially the top three others are starting to test, and they're testing even more, including Russia, China, a little bit below that. But Russia has, they at least claimed they've been trying out these missiles that are going 8,000 miles. That's right. And President Trump responded saying, hey, we don't have to travel 8,000 miles. We got a nuclear sub right outside of Russia in the water. So you know what? It escalates. It's a little concerning. I think we should have discussed this. What do you think about this? Obviously, there is a lot of debate. President Trump seems to want to completely end these programs, but it's almost a peace through strength moment here, saying should by saying we're going to test it, will it inevitably end with the dissolution of it? I don't know if that's the case. Obviously, these are concerning times. Whenever anyone starts talking about this, It should be taken very seriously. Let's hear from President Trump. He was on Air Force One yesterday talking about this.
Write your Truth Social about nuclear testing. What about resuming nuclear testing? What prompted you to do that right before the meeting?
It had to do with others. They seem to all be nuclear testing.
Russia?
We have more nuclear weapons than anybody. We don't do testing. You know, we've halted it years, many years ago. But with others doing testing, I think it's appropriate that we do also.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing from Rick Grinnell and his thoughts on this as well, because he obviously is a bit inside, knows what President Trump is thinking always, and seems to know some of the moves here. Is this just a move? Is this a move to just, again, put everyone on their toes a little bit, get the world to take notice of what America's doing, saying, well, if you're going to start claiming these things, we are not going to hold back either. And, you know, Putin has been pushing forward, saying, you know, they've been doing these testings, including, again, like I said, missiles that are going 8,000 miles. And President Trump said, we have more than anybody, and we stopped testing, which is probably a good thing. But you know what? If they're going to be testing, China said they're about 5 years behind matching us in testing. Maybe it's time we do as well. I want to know what you think. Obviously, this is a very controversial topic. If he is the president of peace, is that the same when you start talking about nukes and testing nukes? Of course, we have test facilities and sites that we can do this in relatively safely, I would assume. But I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Does this freak you out? Do you like this? What do you think of this move from President Trump? Of course, it's all on the heels of these big international meetings and the war in Russia and Ukraine. Where do you stand now on that? As President Trump seems to be backing Ukraine more than ever, 1-800-684-3110. Head into the fourth year of that war. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. In the next segment, we're joined by Senator Marsha Blackburn. So you're not going to want to miss that. We're going to talk a bit about Arctic Frost as well. I know a lot of you were calling in yesterday, and if you didn't get through, feel free to call in today. We could take some questions or comments on that as well, which, of course, is the SNAP situation, the food stamps, you know, that potentially could be ending as soon as 2 days from now. She proposed a bill, along with a lot of others, to hopefully at least create a stopgap where that funding continues on for people that are in a need, people who are in need of food that we want to make sure that we're still supporting. And that's okay, and that's good, and we should be able to do that. Of course, that calls for a bipartisan effort. Will that happen? I don't know. We'll talk about it with Senator Blackburn coming up in the next segment, as well as the bigger revelation. Once again, it feels like I can't get away from this story, that Jack Smith, who he was looking into, now expands even further. Sure, first it was people directly involved with President Trump. Then it was people that kind of felt like on the outskirts. Then it was senators, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, all these names that started coming up saying, hey, I want their phone records. You know, the people like Marsha Blackburn. That all was happening. Then, now, as we have seen more and more information come out about this investigation, it now moves to the media. And of course, when you look at the media, the majority of these are conservative-leaning outlets, you would say. So you have companies such as CBS, communications with those. You're also seeing communications with Fox News, with Fox Business, with Newsmax, with Sinclair, and with others. That's according to Chuck Grassley. Okay, those are the names that we just know. And we also know Stephen Miller, Dan Scavino, Jared Kushner, and Laura Trump were also targeted, along with major Republican donors that, again, aren't necessarily named, and that's probably good, that they were looking into. This is what was happening during this Arctic Frost investigation. Again, that's just a silly name they decide to slap on these things. It's where you start questioning your government when they start making everything, ooh, it's a fun code name. Someone says it in the chat, Logan talks like he's burdened by the Jack Smith story. Well, you know, it's not that I'm burdened by it as much as when these stories keep growing, it's just frustrating. It gets frustrating to report on it and talk about it each and every day. I want these stories to come to their conclusion. I want there to be people held accountable. But unfortunately, that never seems to happen. It just seems to grow and grow and grow. And I like looking at this chat, but you know what? Jack Smith has, you know, at first felt like a boogeyman, but now it feels like that this is becoming more realistic. I will not be surprised if these names continue to grow and grow, and now we're seeing the media targeted. And that should be alarming. As a member of the media, I feel like that should be alarming. there is journalistic integrity. There's also privacy when it comes to the way that you can report and obviously sourcing and everything like that. When you start to break that down, and the government starts to break down that walls, the freedom that comes in with journalism. Look, I don't like when the Trump administration did it a few months ago and said, here's the plans you have to have if you want to report here. And everyone walked out except for OAN. Okay? I was proud that they did that because that should not be the way our media runs. There needs to be an open and honest journalism here in the United States. So when you start creeping in to what's going on there, it becomes a concern. Of course, we're also talking about one of the stories that came out this morning, really overnight, and that President Trump said it's time to reopen and immediately restart our nuke testing. And that puts up a lot of signs. Look, I understand that it is a big response to what's happening internationally. So you have Russia and China, two of your biggest countries you have to deal with, many of which are, you would say, at this point, not on the best terms. China, less on bad terms than Russia, but still China. And of course, Russia is in the middle of a war that they don't seem to want to wrap up, a war with Ukraine. The President Trump was, pretty confident he was going to be able to wrap up very quickly, but now he's saying that working with Vladimir Putin right now, it's simply not moving anywhere. So now we're saying, again, peace through strength, I guess is what you'd say. Once again, saying, you know what? We have more nukes than anyone. You start threatening us with saying we have a nuclear missile that can go 8,000 miles. Well, guess what? We got submarines right off your coast, ready to go. We don't need 8,000 miles. That's what President Trump said. That's legitimately what he said in talking about this. Now, that kind of conversation should raise red flags, as it does for a lot of Americans, but it should raise red flags for around the world that you don't want to not treat this seriously. Obviously, when we start playing around with nuke talk, it should make us all uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable, but at least President Trump at least has suggested, even in this interview yesterday, this conversation with reporters on Air Force One, that he would like to see it end. He would like to see all of it end. He would like to see a denuclearization of the world. And they said, he's been talking about that with Russia and with China. But again, to not use, I guess, what you have and to make sure it's all working just in case. What do you think about this? Give me a call. I want to hear from you. Does this make you concerned? As someone with young kids, does that make you concerned, or grandkids, that this nuke talk is coming back again? It's flashbacks to, when people, my parents or whoever, would tell us the stories of the 60s and tell us about everything that went on. Get under your desk because a nuke is coming. That feels like such distant memories for a lot of people. But of course, it's not that long ago that we're talking about this. We're talking about under 100 years ago that all of it went down. And when that's the truth, you got to start looking at it at a bigger, we're here at nearly the 250th anniversary of this country. That's only, three people long. That's a wild thing to think about. We haven't been around all that long. And blowing ourselves up doesn't feel like it could be out of the question. So when these talks start getting there, when people are right now also dealing with the fact that their food supply may be going away, that there's going to be a shortage, and they're not going to be able to use their programs that they've been reliant on, whether you like those programs or not. But when you start combining all these things, it does start to create even more of an unrest. And we have to make sure that we are not only peace through strength, but we're also keeping the American people safe and secure and can at least think a little straight of what's going on a global stage. I want to hear from President Trump again. This is Bite 6, because people are asking, does this push to a more risky environment with those countries, or do you think that it provides a safer outlook?
Do you worry that we're entering a more risky environment when it comes to nuclear issues?
No, I don't think so. I think we have it pretty well locked up. But we have more than anybody. But I see them testing. I say, if they're going to test, I guess we have to test. I'd like to see a denuclearization because we have so many, and Russia has some. Russia's second and China's third, and China will catch up within 4 or 5 years. I think de-escalation would be a tremendous thing. And it's something we are actually talking to Russia about that, and China would be added to that if we do something.
That would be, again, a major moment for President Trump if he could get those three major players to denuclearize, that's the word, yeah, you know what I'm saying, okay? It's hard to say those words, I have to say. You guys put these things in front of me, I got to say them, and it's like, you know, especially when I'm the only one here, I could usually kick it over to Will, and he could say the big words, but today it's just me and you guys. If you could end that, if you could end the nuke programs around the world, okay, that is another move that I think only President Trump could do. And of course, that comes in response to Russia saying that they launched a missile, a nuclear-powered cruise missile that can travel 8,000 miles, which is pretty bad for everyone in the Western world. Now, who knows? This is coming from the Putin regime. You never know what's true, what's not true. President Trump did respond and say, you know what? We have one way closer. Some of these have been around for a long time. They've been sitting there for quite some time. And you know what? It's time for us to test them, make sure everything's operating successfully if they're going to start threatening this way. And, you know, I know that there's been a lot of flack with people about Russia. And I spent a lot of time there when I was a kid. And I don't know if people understand the global impact of this nation and the size of it, the scope of it, and the people. You know, we're so far and so distant away, especially the last 30 years, that you don't think about it in those terms. And when you have this war in Ukraine that's looming and still happening multiple years later, and it feels like the end is not in sight, and I'd like it to be. You know, I saw some people getting flack for just saying that they miss being able to travel to Russia. They miss being able to experience it. It is a historical place that I would hope I'll be able to take my kids to one day, that things will calm down enough where you will have these regimes either out of power, or you will have a regime that is more Western in their ways, or at least more accepting of what's going on and not starting these wars, because it is a beautiful country with beautiful people and an amazing culture. But unfortunately, like a lot of these, when they get stuck under rule of these, you know, dictator-like characters, this is what happens. And you start messing around with nukes, you start messing around with the safety of the world. It is a concern that we all should have, and I'm interested to see your thoughts. I'm seeing some of the comments in. Maybe you're just not taking it seriously. Maybe you think this is just President Trump bloviating. Maybe it is. What do you think? Do you think this is just a game? Do you take President Trump for his word? How are you going to feel when they start testing these things? He said immediately. I mean, sure, we have areas that are safe to do it in, I'm sure. But who knows? What do you think? 1-800-684-3110. We get back. Senator Marsha Blackburn is calling in. I look forward to talking to her, not only about the Jack Smith stuff, but also about the SNAP bill that she's proposing along with a lot of top Republicans to say, you know what, let's get this done. If you're not going to reopen the government, if the shutdown's not coming to an end, the least we can do is get people their food assistance that they need. You know, I see a lot of people who are stepping up in their local communities, and I appreciate that as well. I'm glad people are doing that too. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Our DC team hard at work today. Be praying for them. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. Senator Marsha Blackburn is joining us right now, someone that represents us here in our Nashville office, so it's always great to hear from you. I wanted to start this off. We're going to go to Jack Smith, Arctic Frost, and all that, but I'm looking at the comments of the people that are calling in, and we had a big discussion yesterday about SNAP and the funding for SNAP and the fact that you, along with some of the top Republicans, have said, you know what, if the government shutdown is going to continue, if no one's willing to budge on the Democrat side, the least we can do is fund SNAP, get people who need food assistance to make sure that starting this weekend that that their kids don't go hungry, that you know these programs that, again, some people may agree with them, people may disagree with them, but the fact they exist is they exist, and push Democrats to at least push this forward. I wanted to get your thoughts on where we are with that, because I see even, I mean, I brought it up yesterday on the show, how many people, even who listen to this broadcast, who watch this show, are using SNAP benefits, and it's an alarming amount. It's something we should certainly take notice to, but I know you have been at the forefront along with a big group to say, you know, let's push this forward.
Well, indeed we have. And what we've seen is that the Democrats have chosen 14 times to reject opening the federal government and going back to having a continuum on these benefits. And, you know, I think that's one of the important things in this. Some of the Democrats were like, oh, well, we'll do it for a month. But the thing is, that is so disingenuous. It is disrespectful. And what we are saying is, no, you've got to work on this by voting for a clean CR, which is the numbers they have voted for five times. Five times. Mm-hmm. These are not new numbers. These are the Biden numbers. And, of course, we had said, let's go ahead with this and make certain that we open the government, and then let's work on what we've got with the rest of the appropriations measures.
Yes, Senator Blackburn, it is a concern for a lot of people. And, again, more people than I would even have assumed. And, you know, I think a lot of people don't know what's going on behind the scenes in people's lives, so I understand that. I did want to move our attention to what you really are coming on here before. Of course, this is about Jack Smith. This is about what we call Arctic Frost, or what they call Arctic Frost. It seemed to start with just a handful of Republicans. Information started getting out there. Not that that wasn't egregious enough, but now we are seeing how deep it is. We know there's been over 400 groups that have been, and of course, they're all, for the most part, majority conservative or Republican leaning that were targeted here and that have been exposed now, that cell phone records have been pushed for and everything that's been going on, including in the news media, this corruption. I mean, how deep does this go within the ranks, it feels like, of the previous Department of Justice?
Yes, and I think it is deep and wide, because what you have seen is Jack Smith was put in place for Arctic Frost by Chris Wray and Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco. And on April 4th, 22, they did a memo. Chris Wray wrote a memo to Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco and said, we think maybe, possibly, there could have been some kind of coordination, some kind of obstruction. We don't know. There could be alleged activity. It was very vague and nebulous.
Yes.
And so then they put Jack Smith in charge of this. Well, then they came along, and there were nine senators, all Republicans who support Trump, who had valid questions about the outcome of the 2020 election. So then they sent a subpoena over to our wireless companies and pulled our cell phone records. And they got every phone call we either made or received, the duration of the call, the person the call was to or from, and where we were physically standing when the call was either made or received. Very invasive. It's a violation of our First and Fourth Amendment rights. It's a violation of the speech and debate clause of the separation of powers and the Stored Communications Act. and probably a few other things. And as we go through this process and get ready to begin our hearings with Jack Smith and the wireless companies and find out more, I think it's going to be appalling, because think about this. If they were doing this to U.S. senators, what are they doing to the American people that they don't like or that disagree with them?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I was thinking is, as you were saying this, like, if they were willing to do this to you, and you've been, you know, personally a target, I mean, along with a lot of this group here, and kind of putting into perspective of what that feels like for you, and knowing that they, you know, and someone for like you who has been so pushing heavy on child safety and online child safety, even knowing that, you know, people, parents with kids and grandchildren, that this is a should be a wake up call. That this kind of information is happening, and that your cell phone provider is willing, some of them did not, to say push back, some did push back on it, is willing to do this. And I guess the answer that a lot of American people are wondering, Senator Blackburn, is, you know, you've been targeted by this, so many of our other friends have been. What does accountability now look like for Jack Smith?
Yes, well, thank goodness we had Kash Patel move forward and fire everybody involved with the CR-15 unit that worked with Jack Smith. For Jack Smith, we have written a letter to refer him to the Office of Professional Conduct over at the DOJ. And the findings from that would give us the opportunity to move forward with getting him disbarred. We also, as we do our hearings, we think that accountability should be being held accountable to the full extent of the law, not only for Jack Smith, but for these individuals. Would we hope that we see some indictments on this? Yes, because it was criminal and it was a violation of rights. Should there be a trial? Yes, there should be a trial. The American people should not have to worry about their government being weaponized against them because they are from a different political party or have a different opinion.
Absolutely, Senator Blackburn. It's always great to hear from you. I know you got a busy day ahead, and of course, we'll be praying for you. And I think our team listening right now and watching, say a prayer for Senator Blackburn, for all of these people to stand strong in this moment, and also to weather the storm, if you will, because you all are taking a lot of hits right now. Of course, people are going to be blaming the shutdown and everything that's happening on the wrong. You know, the Republicans will say, no, here's what it is. Here's the truth. The Democrats will be blaming the Republicans. And you know, I'm overhearing conversations happen here in Tennessee where people do get concerned. They get concerned when the SNAP benefits or they hear the air traffic controllers are getting funded, what that's going to look like. But people like you are out there standing strong. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being a consistent supporter of us here, too. But also, I'm just going to encourage our audience right now, again, as our Washington, D.C. team is really growing right now, as we are having a bigger government affairs operation right now, and such a big event over the next couple of days in Washington, say a prayer for our team and say a prayer for people like Senator Blackburn who are standing strong. So thank you so much for calling in today. That is going to do it for our first half hour. That flew by. Phone lines are open. Hey, Mike and Michael, look at that. Both of you guys stay on hold. I'm going to get to you coming up here in the next segment. And then 1-800-684-3110. If you want to be on the air today, great time to call in. We're going to continue this discussion talking about Arctic Frost, but also talking about that nuke testing. We got some good calls about that. I know a lot of you have been involved in that and they want to know. And then there's some people who want to call in, talk about SNAP benefits and all of that. I'll take whatever, guys. If you want to talk about those topics today, give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. If you don't get us on your local station for the next half hour, find us live broadcasting each and every day, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on ACLJ.org, YouTube, Rumble, however you get your podcast later on archived. And, of course, support the work of the ACLJ when you can at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to the second half hour of Seculo. I am going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Just had Senator Marsha Blackburn on. Got Rick Grenell joining us in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. And I want to hear from you. We got about one line open right now. I'm sure some of those will open up again at 1-800-684-3110. Big news of the day. President Trump says it's time to reopen our nuclear testing. I think that those words, you know, especially a year or two after Oppenheimer, you start going, oh, that's a little bit of a concern. But I understand the situation at hand. The situation is Russia saying, hey, we're testing nukes that can go 8,000 miles. Then on the other hand, you got China saying we're just a few years behind. And America's like, we got more nukes than anybody, but we've decided to not test it. At the same time, President Trump said, you know, I'm saying this. I'm saying we need to restart testing. But what I really want is for all of us to end our nuke programs, to dismantle them, to be done, that this should not be weapons of war that are utilized. So while I appreciate President Trump's want to end it, it is that escalation that you see the concern over. People don't really know what's happening. We have some interesting calls coming in with people that are concerned. I want to go to Michael first in Florida. Michael on YouTube, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. My biggest issue with kind of revisiting this whole thing is the fact that we're dealing with leadership who does not hold the same value of human life or
right.
collateral damage that we do.
Look, Michael, I feel the same way, which is why, again, the red flags, if you will, start going up, because you're not talking about Western values here. You're not talking about American values. You're talking about countries that are, like you said, willing to sacrifice where they need to. Including human life, that don't value human life the same way, that don't have the freedom of religion like we have here, and some of them have none at all. And they're it's a very different world. So when you are starting to talk about that, if it doesn't hurt them, they are willing. Obviously, we've seen the Russia-Ukraine battle. We kind of thought, in theory, the threats from Russia, you would have thought that that war would have been over in days. And here we are, multiple years into it, with really not an end in sight. You know, President Trump has had good and bad meetings with Zelensky, good and bad meetings with Putin, none of which seem to be progressing anywhere. And I'd say a prayer again also for President Trump and for our friends in Russia and Ukraine that this could be something that comes to an end soon. I hope it does. But when you start threatening to kick nukes back off, obviously there is this bit of a negotiation tool. I think some of you thought, hey, maybe that's what this is with President Trump. Maybe this is just another negotiation point. And this, you know, cause he doesn't say when or where it's going to happen. Just that he has told them to start it back immediately. What's that look like? Could be small scale, could be big. I think we'll know. I really do. I think that, I don't think President Trump is going to say, hey, quietly go test these nukes. I think we're going to know what is happening. 1-800-684-3110. Got three lines open for you. Let's go to Mike, who's calling in New York, watching on the Salem News Channel, another great outlet for us. Mike, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning or afternoon, if you're yeah, like I told the screener, I served on nuclear subs during the 60s period and ballistic missile submarines. And we were on station underwater for 2 or 3 months. And they've been on station ever since then. But I remember reading a report sometime around the 70s or 80s where they had found that a lot of the warheads on these submarines would not have detonated because of some reaction in the warhead. Now, I'm not a weapons specialist, but that's the report I had read. Now, when he talks about testing, I'm not sure what they're testing for. Certainly not megatonnage because, we got 30, 40 megaton warheads already. Normally, they be smaller ones on submarines. So I'm not quite sure what the testing's going to be, but the fact is, the Soviets know we had the subs out there because they always had some trail on us when we were on patrol.
Right.
So I don't think that's going to be a deterrent for Putin.
Yeah. Mike, we're heading to break, but yeah, I mean, one, thank you for your service. If you're suffering on those submarines, we appreciate it. In the 60s, it's kind of cool. It's cool to hear those stories. But also, I think you're right. We have a lot of these weapons, as he said, President Trump said, and we haven't tested them. And you're right. Maybe these aren't working. Maybe they're not operational. Maybe make sure we're ready, if we need to be ready. I'll find out more. We got more lines open. 1-800-684-3110. Rick Grenell joining us right after this.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Back to Seculo. Phone lines are jammed up. They'll open up 1-800-684-3110 after this segment. I'll take as many of those calls as I can. In our final segment, we're now joined, though, by Senior Advisor for National Security and Foreign Policy here at the ACLJ, a longtime friend, Rick Grinnell. Rick, of course, when you start saying nukes, you start talking about nuke testing, you know, the calls come in, the comments come in, people start going, oh, okay, what are we talking about here? That's not necessarily what I expected to wake up to this morning, but I think a lot of people are pushing for, hey, we know that this testing is going on from other countries, and if the goal is actually to end the nuclear programs and to, you know, completely wrap this up, we need to get the attention of China and Russia. Do you feel like that is what's happening with President Trump, or what's the game plan here? Is the every American's woke up to probably a push notification on their phone saying President Trump to begin nuke testing?
Look, I think people need to understand that nuke testing is extremely important. We have to make sure that our stockpiles are working, that they're able to be used. This is about peace through strength. This is not about using them, but making sure that people know that we do have not just a threat, but a credible threat. As a diplomat, as somebody who hates war, I love nuke testing. And here's why. Because when a diplomat is sitting at the table, the best thing in the world is to have President Trump behind us saying, I want our diplomats to succeed, but if we have to transfer this file to the Pentagon, they don't negotiate. So negotiate hard with our diplomats. Let's make sure that we have a peaceful settlement. The alternative is for you to have the entire situation given over to Pete Hegseth at the Department of War. They don't negotiate, they just protect. So I love having a credible threat behind us. And one thing that we've known about President Trump is that he uses the credible threat to make sure that he protects Americans and that the other side always knows that there is a threat of tariffs, some peaceful maneuvering of sanctions or other tools of the United States government. But there's also a possibility of direct military strikes. That combination makes President Trump very credible.
You've been in those rooms, you've sat down with a lot of these people, and I do think that you're right in that notion, thinking that they're very different. We had a call come in and say, hey, a lot of these countries we're talking about here, they value human life very differently. It's a lot of different concerns that are going on, and whether that's economic sanctions or whatever it may be, you know, the having those tools, as you said, especially when President Trump has been more than willing, especially with early on. You know, there's certainly a breaking point for him, and I think maybe, you know, we're getting there in terms of Russia and everything that's going on, where he's been willing to sit down and have these meetings and try to figure out all of the peaceful ways to get things done. Unlike the Biden administration, who decided, no, if we deem you a quote-unquote bad guy, we're not even going to return your calls.
Look, I think people need to calm down here and realize that we're having an adult conversation. We're talking about being prepared, not pulling the trigger. And there's a huge difference. And if you're the U.S. government, put yourself in the situation where you're the leader of the free world. You can't just say, we're giving up all of our nukes, and so come get us. You have to be able to be smart about protecting the American people. President Trump has demonstrated over and over and over again that he values human life, that he rescues our hostages, that he's protecting the American people, both from a prosperous standpoint and from a national security standpoint. And so we need to be able to make sure that we have a credible threat, not just a threat. This is exactly what the president is doing. People need to listen very carefully to what is being discussed and not get duped by the media into thinking that something else is happening.
That's right. The headline, like I said, the push notification a lot of us got didn't leave off, or happened to, you know, very nicely leave off the next part, which was saying, my plan is that there should be no nukes, that we need to denuclearize the world, that we need to be talking with Russia, that needs to be the plan. If we talk with Russia, we're talking with China, we're going to end this entire program if possible. But before we can end it, as you said, we need to make sure things are operational when Russia says, hey, we have one that can go 8,000 miles. And you go, okay, well, maybe we should be at least looking into it. Whether that's true or not, this is coming from Russia, who knows? But of course, you can't take those threats not seriously. I did want to move a little bit.
Can I make one point? Because I think what you just brought up is really good. The headline is different than the story. But look, we need to be, as consumers of news, we need to be very smart about what's happening. The media is a business, people. Get it through your head. They want you to click on things. They're going to say outrageous, outlandish, clickable things. You need to be smart enough to read. You have a responsibility. Read. Don't just look at something and jump to conclusions and post on Facebook.
Look, it's a tough thing, Rick. I'll be honest with you. I talk to our team every day about, you know, you got to have something. They'll push for me to say, here's what we're going to say for the headline. And we have to have this conversation to go back and forth. And go, well, this is, you know, the social media team says, this is what's going to work. This is what YouTube is going to serve. You know, that's also the truth, is that what's getting served, it's not necessarily always cut and dry. It's about, will people click over? Not only will they click over, but will it actually make it in front of the eyeballs? It is a game. It's sadly a game that a lot of us have to play.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. This is the business of media and the competition that we face right now. So it's incredibly important for the consumers of news to look at multiple news sources and dig a little deep. You have a responsibility. You can't just be a sheep.
Well, then let's talk about the one story that seems to keep coming up and keep coming up. And that is, of course, the media's freak out over some comments that came in about a third term for President Trump. I feel like this just keeps, it's another story. It's the ballroom of this week that just keeps rolling on. I just got to get your thoughts. This, you know, it feels like, President Trump will sometimes push it forward a little bit, but he said pretty clearly, you know, I don't think I could do it. I'm pretty sure that's not allowed, but you know what? If you want to keep talking about it, we're not going to stop the story.
Look, I just got a hat that says Trump 2028. I love it because I love the conversations that ensue. Do I think that Trump is running in 2028? No, I don't. And people, we need to use a little humor here. And if the media is a business, don't hate the billionaire who is an amazing businessman who knows what sells. And that's President Donald Trump.
And it's not only that. I mean, there is the message points of, look, the Republican Party, I think, in general, was changed forever with President Trump. And I think that we'd be lying to ourselves to think it's going to go back in some ways anytime in the near future. Yeah, so I think when you hear a Trump 2028, it's not necessarily saying President Trump. It's saying, look, this is probably a similar agenda that could be moving forward.
That's a fantastic spin. Can I start using that, Logan?
Absolutely. Of course. It's all yours, Rick. Just don't quote me. You can just keep it yourself. I don't need to be showing up on any websites anymore.
As Logan Sekulow told me, that's my new answer.
Yes, absolutely. Rick, I want to say we appreciate you calling in, because it's always good to hear from you. And we've talked about nukes. Now we've talked about Trump, third term. The only other thing we haven't talked about, and I think you can maybe briefly discuss this. Of course, we spent a lot of time this morning in the last, it feels like the last 10 years, I think, we've talked about Jack Smith here and now Arctic Frost, where we've seen now more pushes and pushes and more releases saying not only was it the people that are around President Trump, then it was like a senator that may have called him once, to now saying that they were looking at the phone records of major media organizations, Fox, CBS even, Sinclair, that it just seems like the it keeps going deeper and deeper. As someone who was there, Rick, and someone that you know what it's like on the inside, how you feeling about all this?
First of all, let's just say thank you, Chuck Grassley. If you live in Iowa, if you see Chuck Grassley, you have to thank him for all of his work on this. Right. I loved working with him when I was DNI. He is someone who is digging into these issues.
Yeah, no joke.
He doesn't just take the government's word for it, no matter who's in charge. He's the one who unearthed this. And we see Jack Smith is somebody who has literally been politicizing all of these investigations. I hope he's prosecuted.
All right. Well, Rick, thank you so much for joining us again today, as always. Hope you have a good rest of your day. And as I've said with all of our guests today, say a prayer for Rick and his team as well, because it's a, you know, it's not easy to go do these jobs. And our team at the ACLJ, like I said, as we've been expanding, and our Washington, D.C. team, and the Jordan is running right now. And, you know, that's why you'll see he'll pop on, do a day. You know, he's here and there, because he is running what's going on in Washington, D.C., along with an incredible group of new people. You may have heard some of our guests that we've had on this week, and you've kind of shown some of those new lawyers or head of government affairs. And I like that. I like that you're able to see what's going on there as our studios are expanding, our offices are expanding, the legal work is growing, the government affairs work is growing. It's all growing, but it only grows because people like you support the work of the ACLJ. So I just want to take a minute, because in the next segment, I'm going to take all the calls. Right now, we got three lines open, though, so you can call in 1-800-684-3110. But I just want to take this minute to say thank you to everyone that supports the ACLJ, that gives financially. I think you, even if you don't give financially, you should watch this show. Maybe you just hit that subscribe button. It's free on YouTube. That helps us out a ton. But for those that do give, specifically our ACLJ champions that give on a monthly basis, I just want to say thank you. And know that we're about to head into, it's October 30th. It's my son's birthday. You know, and it's a big time for the ACLJ. We're about to head into the two most important months of the year for any nonprofit organization, November and December. So begin to pray. Obviously, if you can support the work today, do it today. But if you need time, begin to pray about supporting the work of the ACLJ as part of your end of the year giving, because it is going to be a hectic time. Things never slow down. So go to ACLJ.org. A lot of great free content there. I want to make sure we can always provide all of this content without a paywall. So do it at ACLJ.org. Give today if you can. If you're in the comments right now on YouTube and Rumble, throw in where you're watching from. I love to see that in the break. I'll read a lot off coming up.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to take some calls, and my brother Jordan Seculo just reached out and said he'd like to call in. You know, he's been doing some important work and going to some pretty big places like the White House over the last few days, so we want to hear from him. So let's kick it off with some calls. Before we do that, if you're watching on YouTube, I asked for it, but I haven't seen any come through. Let me know where you're watching from. Throw it in the comments right now. If you're one of the 2,000 or 3,000 people that are watching on YouTube, Rumble, however it may be, when we do the show live, hundreds of thousands of you watch it later, throw it in the comments. Where are you watching from? I'd love to see that. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Let's go just in the order they came in. Bob's calling on line 6. Bob, you're on the air in Indiana.
Thank you, sir, for everything you do.
Thank you.
I have several comments before I get to my point. One comment is thank you for the flashbacks of standing out in the cold, holding a weapon, protecting these nuclear weapons from the Cold War. That's number one. Number two, I'm actually calling in about the standoff there between the Republicans and the Democrats. I urge everybody to call 202-224-3121 and call their senators.
Okay, cool. Making sure we're giving out the proper number. Go ahead.
202.
No, we're good. We got it. Continue on.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Now, my theory is the Democrats are doing this now because they don't want to kick the can down into the road into next year. Next year is a politician's nightmare because everybody's going to be voting. They don't want the public to know. And I think that's why they're doing it now instead of next year.
They're certainly playing politics with it, Bob. They're seeing who is it going to affect. If their spin saying that this is, if the Democrats can say this is the Republicans' fault, and the Republicans are being honest and say, no, look, here's what it is. It's the same that we've passed for multiple years, and here's where we're at. You just heard from Senator Blackburn talking about that. But then you also have the feet put to the fire when it comes to things like, hey, fine, if you really care about this, about people, here are the ways we can help people. Let's get air traffic control back operating and paid for, and let's get our SNAP benefits, the food assistance programs, back going and funded because our people need it temporarily, or maybe they need it for longer. But you know what? That's not for us to judge there. But you know what? At this point, if we're providing it, we need to do it. And of course, there's been very little movement on that. We'll see what happens. Let's push forward and go to Jana, who's now calling her. Yana, you are on the air in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, very exciting. I never done this before.
Thanks for calling.
So I had a comment about that Russia and about all these new craziness that can happen with a nuclear race, because this is, to me, it's not a good thing. When I heard what President Trump said last night, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because this can just cause unnecessary arm race again, like it was back since 50s. We know this craziness, Russia, USA, everybody is aware, and if people read and really know what's going on, is whatever happened when the Russians showed these big guns was deterrence. It was strictly deterrence. I know that mentality, Soviet mentality. I don't think that President Putin is threatening America. I don't think he even wants to use it. But what's been going on coming from the Europeans, for all the leaders there who are just claiming this crazy narrative that Putin is not going to stop in Ukraine, he's going to take all over Europe, which is absolute madness. Yeah. My family lives in Europe, I'm European, and when they even hear it, like the regular people, they are just shaking their heads and they cannot believe what kind of leaders they have right now in European Union. Because it is warmongering about something that will never happen.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you're right that it'll never happen. I think, look, the reason we have an ECLJ, a European Center for Law and Justice, to make sure that we are also keeping a hold on that. Of course, we used to be active in Russia, and of course, that had to end with the war. But look, I think a lot of us saw that headline, and you're right, that pit in your stomach moment did happen. Of course, if you fully listened to President Trump and what he had to say, he is calling for the end of the nuke program. But yeah, that first part of it, I totally get it. And as someone like you, clearly has lived through it and been through it, you don't want to go through it. Now, you say, you know, everyone remembers it. I think we have a whole generation that does not, that doesn't, they're either too far away from it, or they never were around for anything like this in terms of our relationship with Europe, our relationship with Russia. So I appreciate you calling in. Yana, always feel free to call into the show anytime, and I'm glad you did. And let's see, quickly, let's go to Alex. Alex, if you could just go pretty quick, because we're going to run out of time.
Hey, super fast. Just want to know, did we ever hear a follow-up report on that China spy balloon? Did we ever get an understanding about the technology on there and what it achieved or anything? But thank you for taking my call, and thanks for being there, guys.
Yeah, obviously, that was a big story that feels like ancient history. Of course, that was only a couple years ago. You know, they claimed that it was it a weather balloon or some sort of something they were doing? And I'm not sure we ever got total information of what it was, other than there was electronics and sensors and they were looking over it. I'll look into it and see what actually ended up being the final answer to that. But of course, we all have our thoughts on what it truly was. And they just said, hey, it drifted off course. It just was what it is. Remember that? It all feels like distant memories. We're talking about 2 years ago. That's the crazy part with all of this. It feels like every news story moves on, and we move on so fast. But thank you for calling, Alex. I'll have to do some diving into that. But of course, China is one of the concerns. One of the reasons President Trump said we need to start testing is because China's only a few years behind, and clearly they can get stuff into our airspace if we just remember a couple years ago. Jordan's joining us now. Jordan, we got 2.5 minutes. I'll let you take most of this. Tell us what's going on in Washington, D.C.
So in Washington, D.C., we're partnering the ACLJ with CPAC, an organization I know people know, Matt, Mercedes Schlapp, and the events they do here in the United States and around the world, that we just got back from one over the summer in Hungary, and partnering with the ECLJ. But we're now partnering together with CPAC on a new effort to unite many different groups. With the White House yesterday, at a summit today at the Kennedy Center with multiple ACLJ attorneys, and me also participating, to end Christian persecution and to kind of use all the different resources, the legal resources, the policy resources, and also to make sure that Christians in the United States, kind of the where this all emanates from, to protect our Christian brothers and sisters, because we have the resources, are doing this in a unified way through our government. And last night we kicked it off at the Museum of the Bible, and I want to play this. This Speaker Johnson came by to make some remarks. And I wanted to play this for our audience. We're filming all of the panels that we're doing right now. We'll get that. I'll be on the air either tomorrow or Monday too to talk more about what we did here exactly. But I want to play Speaker Johnson and what he had to say just about the ACLJ and our work.
I just want to wholeheartedly endorse this effort. And my background was in the defense of religious freedom in the courts, and I worked for the Elias Defense Fund for a long time, arm in arm with the seculos. And Jay was like a mentor of mine. I used to literally carry his briefcase around when you were too young to do it. And I mean, between these families, the seculos and the Greens and the Schlapps, I mean, the work that's being done is really, I do believe it is for this moment. I believe it's providential. I think we all know, we all recognize, this is a chief need, the persecution around the globe.
So, I mean, there you go, guys. I mean, that is the Speaker of the House during a shutdown, still taking that time and making those remarks just about the influence of the ACLJ here in the United States and now around the world. I'll talk to you more about it, Logan, when we get back from Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. I mean, amazing clip. Glad you're doing that work there in Washington. That's why Jordan is there. It's why that team is growing, because you can see the influence now. When you have those conversations, when you hear that, you know supporting the work of the ACLJ is important. So I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org today. Make a donation if you can. And if you're thinking about it, praying about it, know that in a couple days, as we kick off next week, November and December, most important weeks or months of the year, that we're going to need your support. You're going to hear about it. We're going to ask you for it at ACLJ.org. Talk to you later.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.